Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Welcome back, everybody, to another conversation here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. I've got Chandra Stiles, which, Chan, this is, people have heard you before if they're a longtime podcast listener, but you have a really cool name as I introduce you to people.
Thank you.
Chandra Stiles.
Yeah. I love it.
Not that you picked either of those.
No. Well, I mean, maybe the last name kind of when I got married, I could have chosen not to, but I was happy to trade in my old last name. My maiden name was Eunuch. So,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was ready to be a Stiles after 23 years with that.
That is so Eunuch, legitimately. Yeah,
spelled completely different than the biblical Eunuch, but really, once I didn't know what it was until I became a Christian. That's when I started getting bugged about it. So
right. Yeah. And so, yeah, being in ministry and introducing yourself as Miss Eunuch, just not really helpful.
I mean, it led for all sorts of fun jabs, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Anyone who's listening and doesn't know what that is now, they're like Googling, what is a eunuch?
Yes. Exactly. Google what is a eunuch.
Have fun with that.
Yeah. And to be fair, not many people would have a strong theology of the eunuch, but you probably do.
It's true. Actually, in Bible college, I did a research paper for it because I was like, I want to prove that the eunuch is awesome. I learned a lot.
Well, there you go. Okay, so that's great. You're a youth worker out of Saskatoon, and we've been doing youth ministry alongside of each other, although we're in different parts of the country, for many years. We would have met maybe 15 years ago, probably?
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah, 10.
When did you first start as a youth pastor, your vocational youth worker?
Yeah, so I started as a youth pastor in 2007. So took a 1 year gap in the middle, but have been doing it for 15 years and then connected into the youth worker community probably like 10 or 12 years ago. First with conferences and then with all the other good things you guys do.
Yeah. So if you've been around our places, you maybe have met Chan at one of our events, or through the podcast. But, what I love about, you, Chan, and why this conversation is going to be so fun is you've thought intentionally about this particular question. How do you relate to teenagers? And I love that you've been able to create space in your youth ministries where it's not just you that relates to teenagers, but your team actually knows how to relate to teenagers.
Yeah.
So this is a question that comes in from an honest to goodness volunteer youth worker, from my buddy Mark, actually. I was looking this up actually before Christmas this year, and was just like, hey, what are some of the things you're wrestling with? And he wanted to talk about this because what happens, so he and I are both, you know, in our mid-30s. We've both done youth ministry, him as a volunteer, me as a vocation for really since we've been in youth group. And it seems perhaps if you're a volunteer youth worker that these days, or the longer you're out of high school, the farther out you get from obviously teen culture. And so as things change and things feel different, music styles adjust, it can feel difficult to understand and relate to what teenagers are going through and wrestling with because all of those, like the music changes, the trends on TikTok are so fast. And so you kind of show up to hang out with these kids and try to point them towards Jesus. And it feels like they're maybe starting on a completely different planet.
Yeah.
And so I want to start by asking you the question, Chan, is it important? Is there value, I guess, in trying to find common ground with students or understand them enough to kind of know how to relate to them? Is that a worthwhile, and this is honest, like it may not be, it may just be like, hey, we just tell them about Jesus and forget about what they're dealing with.
Right.
I'm open to that. So what do you think in terms of relation to teenagers?
Yeah, I think that finding relatable connecting points is honestly like a key hinge of youth ministry. It's really what so much of your ability to share the gospel, your ability to build discipleship relationships, and your ability to kind of empower and launch them into lifelong discipleship, it often just hinges on the ability to relate to them, to find common space where you share life with them, where you understand what they're going through and they understand what you're going through. And there's this kind of sense of, even though those are totally different worlds, there's this sense of like, hey, God is at work in us in similar ways even in different age categories. And I also think it is a beautiful picture that is painted of lifelong discipleship to kids, to be like, oh, if my 40-year-old youth worker is dealing with this type of stress in this in their life and incorporating their relationship with God into that, maybe this is how I can do it now and this is how I can do it then. So they kind of see this picture of lifelong discipleship, which is like very valuable. And I think the way that I look at it when I think about relating to teens is it's not about knowing all the pop culture things, which is really good. And it's not about, you know, like knowing the lingo or whatever in a way that like feels like you know it and use it like as yourself. Like you can still be yourself in whatever age demographic that you're in. That the important thing is recognizing that you are engaging in a cultural moment with them.
So we're talking about, you were saying, actually, you said two things that I want to make sure I draw out here. You said there's something about understanding where teenagers are at, kind of relating to their world.
Yeah.
And then you actually said that we should help find ways for them to relate and understand our world as their youth worker, as volunteer youth workers. So I'm interested in that even, but that may be another podcast episode. So they can see that, hey, as I'm following Christ as a 35-year-old, you know, dad of three, what does that mean? And they can understand a little bit of, you know, if you're a volunteer and you're a 60-year-old, you know, grandma, and what does it mean to follow Jesus at this? Or, you know, you've just became a Christian, you know, 5 years ago. And so, you know, you didn't experience youth group and, you know, whatever your story is, I'm intrigued to know, Chan, what you mean by helping students see what it means to follow Jesus in your phase of life as a volunteer. But let's go to the teenager first, because that's the heart of this question. How much do we have to understand about their world, or how do we relate to them in a way that's meaningful? Just recognizing that it is so different.
Right. So I think that one of the things that's important to recognize is that youth ministry is, in a sense, a cross-cultural type of ministry. Maybe not in the sense of like ethnically or geographically, but demographically, age-wise, it is, you are entering into a culture that has a set of values. It has a language. It has, you know, like icons or things that symbolize things that are important to that age demographic. There's even kind of like an order or like a kind of way that things work that would be different than someone in a different, even just one kind of little generation up, like the difference between Gen Z and millennials. Like there are differences in those two cultural settings. And so you have to approach it like you are in a cross-cultural setting. You need to be observant in a way that you're like, okay, what are the values that shape the way that teenagers think about things, ask questions, make decisions, communicate about what's important to them, make choices with their time, their money, their attention, any of those things. You have to think about the language that is used and just be attentive to what it communicates about their values, but also like what it may, the bridge that it could build, like the value it could bring if you just understand their language more. And I think really understanding that the experiences they have, though there would be similarities to the fact that you've maybe walked through similar things like high school or going to university, whatever, that they are experiencing it in a different way than you experienced it, even if you only experienced it 5 years ago. And so I think that there's importance to not walking into a relationship with a teenager being like, yeah, I was a teenager once, so I know how to teenager. But to recognize like, I was a teenager once, I had experiences that probably inform me about some of the things that you're thinking, feeling, experiencing, but I didn't live through the cultural moment that you're living through. And so entering in with a like, help me understand, help paint the picture, and being observant in a way that you are picking up on the values, the language, the experiences that then help you build a bridge to relating to who they are and what they're going through. And I think if you posture yourself in that way, the absorption of that information actually happens quite quickly, because you stop looking for opportunities to tell them how to be a teenager and you start listening for what they are telling you about what it's like to be a teenager. Mm. And I think that's a really important differentiation when you're kind of creating those relatable things. And so again, it doesn't mean that you have to become like them. You don't necessarily have to have the same values, have the same language, or even put yourself in the place where you're experiencing the same experiences. You just have to be open to understanding that that's the world that they are living in and trying to see from their vantage point.
Mm. It makes me think of a concept of called tactical empathy. Tactical empathy. Chris Voss talks about it. He's a hostage negotiator. And nice. Sometimes youth ministry feels like we're in a hostage situation.
Yes.
But he would say the strength of a negotiation in a conversation is to be able to repeat back to somebody, like you said, their values, what they consider important with their language. To the point that they're able to say, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm going through. Totally. And to understand it at that level in a way that they would affirm the way that you can talk about it. But that takes a lot to get there. And when you're talking about even just the difference of, you know, the quick change in generations, I think sometimes if you're a volunteer youth worker and, you know, maybe you're in your early 20s and you're like, yeah, but I was a teenager just really recently. Like, I get what it's like. And I remember this moment. This is now a little bit dated, but there was somebody, a teenager in later high school, referencing the fact that, like, hey, you know, there is this generation that's on Facebook, and, you know, then there was a generation that was on Twitter, and then there's a generation that's on Instagram, and then this generation that used Snapchat. But now there's this generation that primarily uses TikTok, and the Snapchat generation doesn't fully understand the TikTok generation. And so there's this fast change that is, if you haven't picked up on it, you'll quickly say, even as a young 20-year-old, I don't understand what they're doing right now or what's going on. And that is noticing that something shifted that is now worth becoming a student of it to understand. Not that you need to have TikTok, but that you have to understand what that actually does to teenagers.
Totally.
Because if that's where their world is in their social environment, you've got to have a sense of it.
And I think that honestly, that small little age gap is probably the hardest. So if you're a volunteer youth worker who's listening and you're in your early 20s, it's probably actually more difficult for you to understand the differentiations because it feels so similar. Whereas for me, almost 40, it's like, I see the difference, you know, like when I was in high school, like I couldn't use the internet for a project till like 12th grade, you know, like I see the like difference in that and the difference in accessibility. But I think, yeah, that the younger of a youth worker you are, the more you might have to work to find those nuances and the differences. And then to really lean in to, like you said, being a student of that culture and understanding how to make a connection, build a connection within those differences.
Yeah. Okay. So now talk to us then, and talk to my buddy, Mark. So Mark is 35 or he just turned 36. He's a postal worker. So he works for Canada Post by day. He's got three kids. You know, he's a guy and he shows up at youth. He's got these kids. Their world is so different.
Yeah.
What does he do to build that bridge? What kind of questions does he ask? How does he actually listen well?
Yeah.
As you kind of mentioned earlier, what does that look like?
So, I mean, as we all know, teenagers do typically love to talk about themselves or the things that are going on in their world. Not all of them. There's definitely settings where teenagers try to deflect that attention significantly, but often they like to talk about the things they like. And so it's, you know, basic youth worker 101 of just like ask them about the music they like, the like Instagrammers or YouTubers or TikTokers. Okay,
we got to slow it down because these are good, Chandra. So what kind of music do you like? Is this the question that we ask these days?
Yeah, like, well, who are you listening to these days? What type?
Who are you listening to? That's a different question. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. Or even like one thing I love to do is, have you made a new playlist lately? What's the vibe of your playlist? So
What's the vibe?
So like a playlist vibe is like a thing that people are looking for. You know, they're like, oh, it's my like finals playlist, or it's like, you know, we're in playoffs, so I have a playoffs playlist, or, you know, like it's the like sad girl post breakup playlist or whatever it is. And it's amazing if you get them just talking about the vibe of their playlist. It's wild, the things that you'll learn about their life just solely by how they've curated this list of songs that are reflecting some season that they're going through.
Okay, that's deep. What's the vibe of your playlist? Maybe not the first question that you ask. Hey, what was the initial one? Hey, what are you listening to these days?
Yeah, what are you listening to? Or like, you know.
And then what's the, hey, do you have a new playlist? What's the vibe of the playlist that you've got going on?
Yeah, what's the vibe? You can ask them, like, are there any TikTokers that you're into? Or one question I've really liked is there anyone like on TikTok that you're super annoyed with, or like you're super like, get off my explore page, my for you page. Yeah. So one of the things, like with so many really bold opinions that are out there on TikTok right now,
yeah,
it's really interesting to take a name and throw it out there and be like, hey, what do you think about this person? Because you know, like that can create all sorts. And now you have to be very prepared for those types of conversations. So I don't know if you've heard of Andrew Tate. He is an Instagrammer, TikToker that, you know, has crazy kind of toxic masculinity vibes. And yet a lot of young guys are listening to him and thinking about him. And so
even teenagers, like in your ministry?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. At one of our weeks of camp this summer, it actually caused like a division and like across like the whole camp almost, because there was this group of boys that were going around being like, we're the Andrew Tate fan club, and girls were just like, I'm not okay with this. So it was very fascinating to just see like the way that these things, you have to be ready if there's really controversial people. But yeah, sometimes just asking like, who are the people on social media that you are, you know, like you're like, why are you on my page? I don't like the message that you bring. And okay, just engaging in some questions and conversations about it.
So the question is, who is either annoying you on social media, and not like a necessarily a personal friend, but like a personality?
Yeah.
Who's annoying you? Who's frustrating you? Who do you wish you could get off your For You page? Now, what I love about that question is the limited time that I've been on TikTok, which is like in the dozens of minutes. It's not much. But I am fascinated. So this is like personal experience. I'm like, oh, I'll go and I'll follow. Cause I was just trying to sort it out. And so I'll follow a couple of like Christian preachers, you know, I'm a pastor. So like, you know, mid 30 preachers, like that was the thing. A couple of hashtags, it seems that they were using, and then to see what would happen. My for you page or whatever the homepage is, immediately was a little bit of them. And then a bunch of people that were ultra antagonistic to the Christian faith. That was all of a sudden what I got served up. And it was this mind-blowing experience for me to think, okay, because I've shared with this media platform what I would like to see, they also know the thing that can draw me into more time is something that is absolutely the opposite, because I'm going to get angry and frustrated. And so here are the kids, our kids, using these platforms or this platform, and baked into it is the outrage, knowing that that will draw them in. What a wonderful question to tease out what part of what's outraging them, knowing that it's definitely getting served up to them totally on a regular basis.
Totally. The algorithm is strong, and it definitely introduces really like wild kind of thought patterns. And like I had a seventh grader at our junior high a few weeks ago come up to me and say, have you ever experienced spiritual abuse? And I was just like, how do you know what that is? Like, where did that come from? And it was very quickly like that the trail was social media. And I was looking at a line of TikToks, and then it brought me to this group of people that were just talking all about abuse in the church. And so it's there and it's very accessible to them. And honestly, it leads to a good investigation of values, because there's this surface level thing you're engaging with, social media or music, or maybe it's a TV show or a show that they're streaming or that they are really into. And you can talk about the interest in that thing. So you can talk about the music or the show or the person, but then you can shift the conversation to be like, why is that important to you? Or like, why is that frustrating to you? Why does that stress you out? Or what brings you hope about that? And all of a sudden you're moving from talking about the information they're intaking to the way that it's affecting them. How is it making them feel? What is it making them question? How are they responding to that? And even just that question, when you see a kid's getting fired up about something, even just being like, wow, that sounds really important to you. Tell me more about like, why is that important to you? It kind of opens up this like pathway into where their values lie. And all of a sudden you start seeing a different side of how they're engaging in their culture, because it's not just the content that they're intaking, but then the effect that it's having on them. And that's really where we want to lead to with relatability. We don't just want to know this stuff about pop culture. You can do a few Google searches to get that. You want to know, how is it affecting you? How is it informing how you make decisions, how you feel about yourself, the way you see other people, the way you see God, where you see God at work, where you feel confused about God. So these are all, this is all kind of like a pathway that can lead to those types of conversations about the impact of that content that's being intaken.
Well, yeah, it changes when, you know, you start the conversation by talking about it being like a cross-cultural experience and recognizing that, hey, when, you know, missionaries travel across cultures to people that maybe haven't heard the gospel, there is this hard work of understanding that culture so that you can introduce Christ in a way that is helpful and not hurtful and that is understandable. And so that's obviously our role as youth workers to this generation is making sure that they are invited into this holy family and that they get to experience it. So I love just those two handles, Jan, unless there's something like burning in your mind that you want to share, I think we should just leave it at those two to talk about music and talk about the vibe that will tell a lot about a student. And then this idea about, hey, what's outraging you or what's,
what's making you mad?
What's making you mad these days? And even angling it from their social feed. Those are two wonderful ways to get students talking, and that'd be great. Awesome. Well, any last words that you would want to leave with our youth workers before we let them go for this particular conversation?
I would just encourage you, don't give up. Don't feel like you have to know all the cool things or know the most recent trends. Just continue to posture yourself in paying attention, being observant, and asking those broad, open questions that kind of lead you to the deeper places of students' hearts and minds. And really trust that the Holy Spirit is at work within them and wanting them to expose those things in a way that then they're making room for Jesus in those places. And so be encouraged that even if you ask a question, a student looks at you like you're really ridiculous, to not give up, keep trying. And one day, one of those questions is going to hit in a place that's really, really needed.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Well, we'll see you guys back here the next time for another conversation on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast.